You know, something phenomenal happened a couple of weeks ago when we first heard this rumor that Nexstar, which is, of course, based here at Irving, might take over Tegna, which, of course, contains, among other things, the remnants of the old Belo Corporation. But both stocks went up. Usually the acquired company, that would be Tegna, would go up. Nexstar would go down. Both stocks went up. Then, finally, it was announced Tuesday morning, it's a deal, and immediately both stocks went up again. And in, for a while, a lot. That means the street really likes this merger a lot. The combination of the 51 markets that Tegna serves with 64 stations and, I don't know, something over 200 stations that Nexstar has with 116 markets. Perry Sook is the one who's assembled all this and joins us again. It's good to have you with us.
Thanks, David. Appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, you know, we watched with great interest as you assembled this thing, and then you've had this pause, and it's nice to see you back working again. tell me about the merger.
Well, I would say that, you know, it is due in part to, and we are grateful to the Trump administration and FCC Chairman Carr for recognizing the need for meaningful regulatory reform in a lot of industries, but not the least of which is our industry. We suffer under antiquated regulations that say, you know, historically, you can't own two of the top four rated TV stations in a market, and you can't own TV stations that reach more than 39% of the population. And, you know, there's ways around that with UHF discount and things like that. But it's like, we compete against big tech for advertising dollars, for sports rights, and now big tech is mobilizing local sales forces in a lot of our markets. They want to appropriate our content. And I just want a level playing field here. So, you know, hats off to the Trump administration and the FCC and the DOJ for recognizing that it's in our national interest to have good local journalism outlets and not have your news ultimately delivered, you know, 5 years from now, 10 years from now by a chatbot somewhere. So we're meeting the deregulatory moment where it is. You know, the regulations haven't changed yet. We think they will during the pendency of the transaction, which will enable the transaction. And at the end of the day, that you need good, strong companies of a sufficient scale to compete against big tech and, you know, their pervasiveness in our lives.
Yeah, that's the key, the big, strong companies. And the thing is, this business has changed dramatically in our lifetime. I mean, the number of eyeballs that are watching TV is down, network competition is coming from streaming and gaming, and both spouses are working so they get home later. They don't watch television together. So it is probably a smaller market, and you need to be strong to survive. You're strong, and a lot of your competitors are not.
Well, and I think that, you know, I look at it this way is, you know, people lamented Walmart putting the family pharmacy or the local grocery store out of business as they continued to grow. But Walmart is now of sufficient size that they can compete with Amazon for delivery, for groceries, for price and product selection and services. And I think TV is the same way. You know, people lament the loss of some of the family-owned broadcasting companies, some of which we've acquired, some of which others have. But you really need companies that are big enough and have resources enough and a footprint large enough in the United States to be able to compete with big tech. Otherwise, we're just going to get rolled. And, you know, I don't want to see local journalism go away and only, you know, have your only choice being Amazon. So we need to be big enough to be a viable alternative.
So can you give me a sense of what this looks like when it's done? I mean, for example, here in Dallas, you'd have Channel 8. Is it WFAA? Is it Tegna? And you've got, you know, CW33. You have two major affiliates in Austin and in Houston. This gets you into cities in Texas that you're not in right now. So you're going to have one heck of a Texas network if you just wanted that. What is it going to look like?
Well, you know, the company itself will be approximately $8 billion in revenue, about $2.6 billion of EBITDA. That puts us into the same EBITDA league as both Fox and Paramount. So hopefully people will begin to think of our company in a slightly different way. You know, we'll have 265 full power television stations in 44 states in the District of Columbia, 132 of the country's 210 television markets. So substantial and vast coverage will produce over 450,000 hours annually of local news. For example, here in Dallas and in Houston, where Tegna owns a CBS affiliate, we own the CW affiliate. Here in Dallas, we have no on our CW station, no local news presence to speak of. And so we can leverage the resources of WFAA to be able to put news on at times when Tegna's in network programming and give them a local news voice and give the audience more news choices, even though it's akin to running two newspapers off the same printing press.
Well, you've also got News Nation and, of course, The Hill and everything else. And my sense is you have 254 stations full of reporters that'll all be competing to get some FaceTime on your network, because you're going to be a significant network, too.
Well, the strength of News Nation is the strength of its affiliates and, you know, providing that on the ground local coverage, whether it's wildfires at KTLA or the floods in Central Texas. That gives us a distinct advantage over the other national cable news channels that don't have that huge affiliate base to utilize. And this gets us into new markets like Atlanta and Phoenix and Seattle and Minneapolis, which will give us more reporters on the ground for local news that happens there. It will just make our national news product stronger. But the reason our national news product exists is because of the depth and breadth of our local stations and local affiliates. Nexstar is already the largest employer of journalists in the country, and they're spread out across 110 newsrooms right now. And it'll be more than that when this deal is completed.
Realistically, for competition, I noticed Sinclair came out the other day, Sinclair Broadcast, that came out and said, well, you know, we'd like to buy Tegna. You look at the debt that each of those two companies have, and it looks like it might be a tough slog, but is that realistic? Is that a competitor?
No, well, I don't think so. I mean, the chairman of the board of Tegna called me when he received an unsolicited offer, which was nameless at the time, and said that while we've received an unsolicited proposal, we're committed to working on this transaction and completing what we've started with you. Both boards voted unanimously on Monday night to approve the transaction with the knowledge of the other. And I think for exactly the reasons you talk about, we have an all cash and fully financed deal with unanimous board support. And I think the other approach, if it was from Sinclair, given their balance sheet constraints, would have been more of a merger, and then all their debt comes along, which is at a much higher debt load than either Nexstar or Tegna. So we're levered right now at about 3.1 times debt to EBITDA. Pro forma for the transaction, it'll be approximately 4 times, and then we'll bring that leverage down pretty quickly. 2026 is a political year, and we'll use that additional cash to pay down debt immediately.
Well, you've grown through a series of acquisitions, and I know you don't walk into these things blindly. So considering the obstacles to this right now, that is to say, legislation that's required, it's going to require some changes. I assume you've put some feelers out of this. The administration is going to change some of the rules so that you can do this.
Well, the FCC chairman, Chairman Carr, has renewed an open proceeding on refreshing the record on the national ownership cap. And comments were due August the 4th. Reply comments are due in 3 days. And we expect that he'll move on that after he has a chance to review the refresh of the record and make his decision about what he wants to do. And every indication is that he understands that an artificial ownership cap just for broadcast television is probably not in the public interest, which is what he's charged to do. There was also a court decision. The Eighth Circuit Court in July ruled that this prohibition against any owner owning two of the top four rated stations in the marketplace, they basically vacated that rule. So as the FCC turns that into policy as well, we think that the major impediments to doing a deal of this size will be eliminated or greatly reduced. And so we don't anticipate divestitures of a meaningful level if to be necessary to close the transaction.
So is this something the FCC can handle by itself? It requires no legislation. It's a matter of a decision.
We think so. And we think that the FCC thinks so. And so, you know, I think that's the track that we're on. Obviously, Congress could legislate the national ownership cap or elimination thereof. I think they've got plenty on their plate right now, and I'm not sure this rises to the first page of the to-do list, but, you know, that would be kind of a belt and suspenders solution. But we do think the FCC has the authority to modify or eliminate the ownership cap under their current delegated authority.
So how long does something like this take?
I would say 6 to 12 months. You know, we'll have to file a HSR filing with the DOJ. We'll have to file all of our license applications. You got to transfer 65 or 64 local broadcast licenses through the FCC, and so just the paperwork and the attorney time that it will take to do all of that. So just normal processing time would take, you know, probably 6 months. We've had transactions, small transactions approved in less than that time, but this is a bigger one and more complicated. So we're saying anywhere between 6 months and a year, probably, to get to the finish line.
Well, like I say, we've followed you for a long time, but you may have topped yourself on this one. This is quite exciting, the combination of Nexstar and Tegna. If you take the whole value and works out with the debt, something like $6.2 billion. Perry Suk is the chairman, CEO, founder of Nexstar. It's good to have you with us. Congratulations.
Thanks, David. Stay tuned.
I will. For more of our conversation, go to KRLD.com/CEO. David Johnson, News Radio 1080 KRLD.